All for being here. Good morning. If you know this, sing along. Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, never enough. Then you came along and you put me back together, and every desire now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Turn seas into highways, Lord. Hallelujah. There's no one or nothing better than him. Isn't that right? Great job, Leslie. The band are doing such a great job today, aren't they? Doing such a great job today. Praise the Lord. You know, we got one more song we're going to sing, but I want to pray for you today. I want you to know, wherever you may be, there is no distance in prayer. The same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit who's here with us is right there with you, wherever you are right now. And whatever your need is, I want you to know the Bible says if you call upon the Lord, he will answer you. And he will show you great mighty things that you do not know. The Bible says there is nothing that is too difficult for our God. He's a healer. He is a provider. He is a protector. He is a deliverer. He is El Shaddai. He's the God who's more than enough. There's nobody like him. Can anybody shout amen?
Amen.
If you're here today, you've got to be shouting for 10 people. Okay, you've got to be shout out for 10 people. So we're going to pray. If you need prayer, wherever you are right now, I want you to just close your eyes, receive this. Father, I pray for every person watching today. Whatever their need is, whatever it is they're facing, Father, I thank you that you are the healer. You're the Lord who heals us. I pray, Father, let your healing power flow through their body. I rebuke all sickness and all disease and every virus. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed, that you yourself took our sickness and you bore our disease. Receive healing today in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to meet every financial need. Thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who supplies all our needs. I ask you to meet every need, Father. Thank you that you're our source of supply. Thank you that we can be blessed, that you can supply, Lord, even in the middle of a wilderness, that we can flourish, even in the midst of a famine, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are not bound, you are not controlled by the circumstances, but you, Father, reign above all. And I thank you for meeting every financial need. Father, I pray that you'd bring strength, that you'd bring peace right now to every person watching. Thank you that your angels protect us and camp about us, and that, Lord, we do not have to fear no matter what happens. We do not have to fear. We trust in you. We know that you're our protector. You're our healer. You're our provider. You're our deliverer. Lord, we give you all the praise. We look to you today. Thank you for doing miracles. Thank you for healing. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for providing. Thank you for restoring. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, won't you shout out a big amen today? Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for the cross of Jesus. I thank God for the great price that he paid. And as we sing this final song, it's called Mighty Cross, I want to encourage you to just worship with us today, to lift your hands and lift your voice, and let's thank God and praise Jesus for the awesome price that he paid to redeem us. Amen, church.
baton of resurrection. It floods the night as soul prevails to shine. Salvation wakes, our chain shall break as we
to those that are watching online. We're so glad you're a part of this service. Why don't you just turn and wave somebody to somebody, and you may be seated. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, how good to see you this morning. And we welcome those that are watching on Facebook, those are watching on our app, that are watching on our website. You're a part of this service. Understand that not everybody could be here today, but we're so glad that you are. And we pray that you get everything you need. You know, we were singing that song about how Jesus is everything to us. And honestly, even more so do we realize it in a situation like this, right? When you're facing the complete opposite, when you hear doom and gloom all around you, the hope that we have in Christ shines even brighter. Don't you feel that? The peace that we have is so such a contrast to the anxiety that is in the world without Him. Anybody agree with me on that? And so I'm so thankful today, but we're thankful that you're with us, thankful that you're joining us. And if you are here today and you are on Facebook, go ahead and share the live stream service right now, because it gives an opportunity for people to just be reminded that church is on. You know, my son-in-law put a post that said, this used to be called Tuesday. Now it's just called Day. Like, nobody kind of knows what day it is. So let's remind them it's Sunday and church is on right now. And let's watch. But I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I know we have a couple of new visitors and brave souls. So glad that you're here. Let's give our visitors a warm welcome this morning. Come on, family. We're so glad you're here. And if you are here for the first time, just wave your hand. Our ushers are going to hand you a gift. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, that side. Thank you, Ray. Over here. Thank you, Moises. Wave it again, and then he'll see you. There you go. And we give you a visitor pack. Just thank you for coming today. We pray that you get everything that you need from the Lord in this service. And there's a white card. We ask you, just take a moment. It says guest. And just fill that out. And at the end of the service, drop it in the offering bucket, and that gives the pastor an opportunity to call you. If you're watching for the first time, those who are watching, just go ahead and comment. We love to hear from you. Good comments only. No, we don't mind any comments, right? We're tough. Isn't that true? But I'm so glad that you're in church this morning. I want to remind you of our four purposes. The first one is we want you to know God. Second one, find freedom in every area of your life. Third, discover your purpose. And fourth, make a difference with your life. That's what our whole focus is in everything we do in our church. And we're so glad that you're a part of it. We pray that you get everything you need right now from the Word of God. Amen.
Good. Well, praise God. Good morning, everybody. We're so glad you're here. You can just kind of shout to the person next to you, glad you're here today. Because we kind of spread out a little bit, but that's okay. We're so glad that you came today. And last Sunday, I was standing in the lobby as people were leaving, and I saw someone leaving, and I was like, wow, I was kind of surprised to see this person there. And he said, well, my church wasn't open today, so I came today, and he came back today. And so I asked him if he would greet you. We're very glad to have Anquan Bolden is with us today, if you don't know who he is. And I've asked him to come up and just say a few words to you, whatever's on his heart today. What's interesting to me, it's good to see you. God bless you. Why don't you give him a big round of applause? Is it? You know, Anquan Bolden is? He's not playing anymore. He's retired now.
Yeah, I'm retired.
But played how many years in the NFL?
14
years, yes. In the NFL. Now, I wanted to ask you, because I saw you last week come to church, and how come you're in church today?
Well, I mean, for me, it's a blessing to be in church. Like I told you last week, my church was closed down due to the coronavirus, so me and my family, we wanted to come out and worship, and, you know, we know that this church was open, so.
We're so glad you did. Now, all your years of knowing the Lord, because I know you grew up knowing the Lord, right?
Right.
You grew up in church. You grew up knowing Jesus. In all your years of knowing the Lord, what is the greatest thing you've learned? Or what would you say to people who are watching today and people that are fearful and people that are worried? What would you say to them?
This is not a time to be fearful. And one thing that comes to mind for me, I was studying this week, and I was reading the passage of Scripture when it was talking about Peter walking on the water.
Uh-huh.
And it's recorded in three of the Gospels, all of them except for Luke. But it talks about Jesus coming to them on the water. First he sent them off, and then he went up in the mountain and he prayed.
Right.
From the mountains, he saw them struggling, rolling the boat in the midst of the storm. He saw them. He then comes to them, right?
Right.
And then Peter asks him, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come.
Right.
And he tells Peter to come. I think it's a common story. Everybody that's been in church, they know the story.
Yeah.
But the thing that stuck out to me after everything happened, after he rescued Peter from drowning and they made it over to the other side, in Mark, it says that the disciples were astounded. And it says the reason they were astounded was because they didn't consider what had just happened previous to that, which was the miracle of him feeding the more than 5,000 with two fish
right. And
five loaves of bread.
Right.
So the Bible says they were astounded, right?
Right.
Because they didn't consider what God had done for them previously.
They forgot.
And I think that's where we are right now. We don't consider all the times God has brought us through.
Protected us.
All the time God has provided for us. All the times God has protected us. And people are fearful because they don't remember those times when God has brought them through.
That's right.
So this is not a time for you to be fearful. This is a time for you to remember what kind of God you serve.
Amen. 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 Thank you. That's good, man. No problem. That's good. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to have you here today.
Glad to be here.
God bless you. Give another big round to Anquan Bolden, won't you? Praise God. I like that. A man of faith. A man of God. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that more important than even being a football Hall of Famer? Is be a man of God.
Amen.
And that's what Anquan Bolden is first. He's a man of God, and God has used him and blessed him, and we're so glad to have you here with us. And all of you here today, and all of you watching here today, are you ready for God's word today? I want to encourage you, like my wife said, share this. If you're watching on Facebook, share it and get a pen, get a notebook, get ready to take some notes, because what I'm going to share with you today, I believe is going to build your faith, fill you with hope, and encourage you in the name of Jesus. Are you ready today? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that our confidence is in your word. We trust your word. Lord, we believe everything you said is true, that you watch over every promise. We believe Psalm 91 that declares, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my high tower, he is my safe place. Surely he will deliver me from the deadly disease. No plague will come near my dwelling, Lord. We believe your word. We thank you for your protection. We thank you, Father. We do not have to fear no matter what happens. We look to you. And I thank you, Father, today that as I speak your word, thank you for helping me, anointing me, speaking through me today. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Even if you're at home, say amen. Today I want to speak about speak life. You know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, with the coronavirus, now more than ever, we need to be speaking words of faith, and we need to be speaking words of life. Most people don't realize how powerful their words are, because if they did, they wouldn't say some of the things they say. The scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the contemporary Bible says words can bring death or life, and you will eat everything you say. The Message Bible says words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. The Passion Bible says your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. Now, we've got a choice. We can either speak words of life or we can speak words of death. The Bible says that our words have the power to bring life or to bring death. Isn't that what the Bible says? And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call heaven on earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that both you and your descendants might live. God says, you got the choice. It's our choice. We can decide whether we want to speak life, speak blessing, or speak death and speak cursing. I encourage you to speak life. I encourage you to speak blessing, because our words have creative power. Say, my words have creative power. Some people are speaking death and defeat. I hear people say things like, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get the coronavirus. You better be careful. You better take this seriously. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I'm worried the economy is never going to recover. You see, then they wonder why those things happen and they don't see situations turn around. It's because they're calling in defeat instead of calling in victory. The Bible says in Proverbs 6 verse 2, you are trapped by the words of your own mouth. You're trapped by the words of your own mouth. And in Proverbs 18:7, verse 7, it says, the mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about how powerful our words are. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, it says, guard your words and you'll guard your life. Guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it'll ruin everything. Proverbs 12, verse 6 says, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. You see, your mouth can either deliver you or your mouth can trap you. You can either speak words that bring deliverance or you can speak words that, bring you, put you in a trap. You got to. The Bible says we've got to guard our words. We've got to put a watch at the door of our lips, because your words can either trap you or deliver you. With your words, you can either bless your future or you can curse your future. When you get up in the morning and maybe you're not feeling up to par, maybe you're facing some problems, some challenges, maybe it looks like it's never going to change, you need to send your words out in the direction you want your life to go. Instead of complaining and saying, oh man, this is going to be a lousy day, I can't stand this job, my spouse never compliments me. Don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change the situation. You may not feel up to par, but you need to dare to make a declaration of faith and say, this is going to be a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I have God's favor. He's directing my steps. Whatever I touch is going to prosper and succeed. You know what you just did? You just spoke words of life. You just blessed your future. You just called in favor, called in increase, called in good breaks. Let me ask you today, what have you been calling in? What have you been speaking over your family, over your children, over your health, over your finances? It's not enough just to think it. It's not enough just to believe it. We give life to our faith when we speak it out of our mouth. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Steve, my child is never going to do what's right. He won't listen to me. I don't think he's ever going to get back on course. That's just calling in more of the same. You need to change what you're saying. You need to start saying with your mouth, Father, I thank you that my child is blessed, that he will make good decisions, that he's free from every stronghold, and he will fulfill his destiny in the name of Jesus. You see, the fact is, he may be as rebellious as can be, but when you're with your friends, don't talk about how bad he is, how he's never going to change. Rather speak victory and faith over his life. When they ask you how your son's doing, say, you know what? My son's blessed. He makes good decisions. He's kind. He's respectful. He just doesn't know it yet. You see, because your words are like seeds, and that's your faith being released. When God hears that, he says to the angels, do you hear what she's saying? She's speaking faith. She's speaking life. Angels, I have an assignment for you. Go down there and begin to turn that situation around for her. You've got to call in what you want. That's what God does. The Bible says in Romans 4, verse 17, God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which are not as though they were. God calls things which are not as though they were. And you know what? God wants us to do the same thing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of faith is who? The same spirit of faith is God. According to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. You see, we have to speak out what we believe. We have to speak out what the word of God, because we believe God's word. We've got to call things that are not as if they already are. That means you may not feel well, but you shouldn't go around saying, well, I tell you what, my back's been hurting for the last 4 years. I'm getting so old. I don't think I'm ever going to get better. No, you just spoke death and defeat into your future. You got to turn it around. You got to speak life. I may not feel up to par, but I know it's just temporary. God is restoring health to me. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting healthier, younger. My best days are still up ahead of me. You see, you got to call in what you trust in God for. You're going to get what you call in. Somebody told me about a friend of theirs they knew in high school, and he was always very negative. And when people would ask him, even in high school, they'd ask him how he was, he'd say, I'm getting old, fat, and bald. Now he was in great shape at the time. He was the star of the football team. He had thick, curly hair. He was kidding around. Now, I like to kid around, but I don't kid around about that. My friend said he hadn't seen him in 20 years, and he saw him recently, and he nearly passed out because he had prophesied his future. He was old, fat, and bald. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to speak defeat over my life. My declaration is I'm getting younger. God is renewing my youth like the eagle. I'm getting stronger. Health and healing's flowing through me. I'm getting better looking. I'm going to keep all my hair in the name of Jesus. We've got to pay attention to what we're saying, family. I know people, they're always tired. They're always run down. You know what they constantly say? I'm so tired. I have no energy. I'm so run down. They said it so much, it's become a reality. See, the more you talk about it, the more you're going to call it in. Amen. Thank you, Marco. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you feel tired and you feel lethargic, instead of complaining, rather start declaring, I am strong, I'm full of energy, God is renewing my strength, I can do all things that I need to do today through Christ who gives me strength. In Joel chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. God says, let the weak say, I am strong. The more you talk about being tired, the more tired you're going to become. The more you talk about how depressed you are, the more depressed you're going to be. The more you talk about being overweight, the more out of shape you're going to be. You're going to switch over into victory. Don't talk about the way you are. Talk about the way you want to be. Don't speak defeat over your life. Speak faith. Speak life. Speak victory over your life. Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've got to say what we've been redeemed from. How many of you know what you've been redeemed from? The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he became a curse for us. Do you know what the curse of the law is? It's the curse that comes upon us for breaking God's law. And we all broke God's law. So we all came under a curse. But Jesus came and redeemed us from that curse. You can read about that curse in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It starts out listing all the blessings that will come on you if you obey God. It says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And then it talks about all the curses. It lists the curses that come for disobeying God's law. And the curse, I'm not going to read it all because go home and read the whole chapter. But the curse includes financial lack. The curse includes defeat. And the curse includes sickness and plagues. Sickness and plagues are part of the curse. Deuteronomy 28, verse 59, listen to this. It says, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. It says, moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Now, notice that plagues is part of the curse. But we have been redeemed from the curse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let me tell you, sickness is a curse. Please don't stand here and try and tell me that God sent this coronavirus to bring revival. Give me a break. No, sickness is a curse. Poverty is a curse. And you've been redeemed from the curse and you need to say so. Because if you're going to overcome that sickness, you got to say so. If you're going to overcome that addiction, you have to say so. If you want God to supply your financial needs, you need to say so. If you're going to get out of debt, you need to say so. If you're going to have a blessed year, if you want to accomplish your dreams, you need to start saying so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say, I am strong. Nothing happens until you speak it out of your mouth. It doesn't say, let the redeemed of the Lord think so. Let the redeemed of the Lord believe so. It's important to think right, and it's important to believe right. But something supernatural happens when you begin to speak it out of your mouth. The Bible says in Job 22, verse 28, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. You will declare it, and it will be established. Now, you have to declare it in order for it to be established. You don't have to say it to everybody, but just to yourself. When you're in the shower, when you're driving to work, when you're at home, you just declare, the coronavirus, it might have hit, but I've been redeemed from every plague. The Lord is my protector. The Lord is my healer. The economy may be bad, but I'm blessed because my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. I may be a bit lonely right now, but I know it's just a season because God is bringing somebody great in my life. I will get married. I haven't met him yet, but he's on his way. He's tall, dark, and handsome, if that's what you want. You got to put your faith out there. There's a correlation between what you say and what God does. You can't be passive and say, well, I'm not going to say anything negative. I'll make sure I don't say the wrong words. Listen, that's good, but it's not enough. If you're going to see God's best, you've got to stay on the offensive. You've got to speak victory over your life. Not just avoid saying the wrong things, but declare the right things. If you're not putting your vision out there with faith-filled words, it's limiting what God can do. Every day before we leave the house, we should declare, Father, I thank you that I have your favor on my life. I thank you that you're directing my steps. I thank you you're causing me to be at the right place at the right time. I thank you that your favor is bringing opportunity, bringing increase, bringing promotion. Thank you that you're blessing me so that I can be a blessing to others. Let me tell you, what you say is there's a big correlation between what you say and what God does. In Psalm 91, in verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely. In him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the deadly pestilence. Notice, I will say and then he will do. I will say of the Lord and then he will deliver me. You see that? If we're not saying of the Lord, then he can't do what we want him to do. It's not enough just to believe Psalm 91. You need to declare it. I will say of the Lord. I declare it every day. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my high tower. He is my safe place. Surely he will deliver me from every plague, from every sickness. The angels of the Lord encamp about me, protect me in all my ways. Are you declaring that every day? Because let me tell you, if we're not saying of the Lord, then he can't do what we want him to do. In Psalm 2, verse 7, it says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. I will declare the decree of the Lord. What does that mean? It means I will declare what God has said. I will find the promises of God in Scripture, and I will say what the Lord says. I will say of the Lord. I will declare the decree of the Lord. If you want God to protect you, you got to say it. You got to say Psalm 91 over your life. Do it right now. Say, I will say of the Lord. If you're at home, say it with us. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. On him I lean and rely. In him I confidently trust. He will deliver me from every deadly disease. His angels protect me everywhere I go. I will not fear. I trust in the Lord. Amen. When you start saying of the Lord, then he shall do. On the other hand, if we're not saying anything, then we're not releasing our faith. You could read that passage in reverse. I will not say of the Lord, and then he will not do. Hello? Psalm 116 declares this in verse 10. Even when it seems like I'm surrounded by many liars and by my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. Let me tell you, we must speak faith and life no matter what we are facing. Some of us are not speaking enough victory over our life. We wonder why we're not getting good breaks, why the situation is not turning around. Are you speaking faith every day? Do you get up every morning and declare, I am blessed? I walk in divine health. The Lord is protecting me. The favor of God is opening new doors. I will fulfill my destiny. Or do you get up and say, oh, I tell you what, there's a deadly virus. Everyone's getting it. I'm probably going to get it. It's going to probably come to my house. I'm just my luck. You're saying the wrong thing. Maybe you say, well, Steve, I'd love to do that, but I've got the sickness. I haven't been feeling well. I just believe in telling it like it is. Listen, I'm not saying to deny the facts. I'm simply saying get in agreement with God. He said, let the weak say I'm strong. He didn't say let the weak talk about their weakness. No, he said let them say I'm strong. We're not supposed to go around talking about how the way that it is. We're supposed to speak the desired result. We're supposed to get in agreement with God and say what God says. I don't care how it looks. If God says I don't have to fear that no plague can come near my dwelling, and someone says, Pastor Steve, aren't you taking this seriously? Yeah, but I take Psalm 91 seriously too. I'm serious about that. I believe what God's word says. How about you? If God's word says I'm more than a conqueror, I may not feel like it. I may not look like more than a conqueror. But if God says it, I'm going to agree with him. I'm going to say it too. I am more than a conqueror. That's what Romans 8 verse 37 declares. Maybe you're struggling in your finances. You know what God says? He says, I will supply all your needs. He says, I'm your shepherd, and you shall not want. If you obey me, blessings will overtake you. You will lend and not borrow. Your report should be, I am blessed. God is supplying all my needs. I have more than enough. The windows of heaven are open above me. God is my source. Amen. Proverbs 18:21. We started out with this. The power has the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. You know that your words produce fruit in your life. In fact, in Proverbs 13:2, it says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his own mouth. Isaiah 57:19, God says, I create the fruit of the lips. Do you know that your lips are producing fruit in your life? We will eat the fruit of our words. Have you ever heard the saying, you're going to eat your words? You ever heard that saying? You better not say that. You're going to eat your words. You know that's exactly right. Do you know that God creates the fruit of our lips? We are going to eat the fruit of our words. You may not be where you want to be today, but maybe, could it be, it's because of words that you've spoken in the past. We've said things like, I'll never rise any higher. I've gone as far as I can go. I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to afford that. Oh, I could never do that. And sure enough, we've been stuck at the same place year after year. Or maybe we've said, I'll never break this addiction. I've had it so long. It is too hard. Listen, just like we said it, it still controls us today. We need to change what we're saying. Our attitude should be, this may be the way it's been in the past, but this is not the way that it's saying. I am coming up higher in the name of Jesus. I may feel weak, but my declaration is I am strong. I may have had this addiction for years, but I'm declaring I am free. I may be facing financial challenges, but my declaration is my God is supplying all of my needs. See, when you start saying of the Lord, I'm healthy, I'm whole, I'm free, I'm blessed, I'm prospering. When you say it, God promised that he will do it. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I've been saying that for a long time, but I don't see anything happening. It doesn't look like anything's changing. Listen, Hebrews 10:23 tells us, hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You've got to hold fast to the confession of your faith. The God's Word translation says we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith, because the one who made the promise is faithful. We must hold firmly to our declaration of faith. If you will keep saying the right thing, if you will keep speaking words of life and keep speaking words of blessing and keep speaking favor and keep speaking health and keep speaking wholeness and keep speaking freedom, let me tell you, God is faithful, and those seeds that you're sowing with your lips, you will reap in due season. You will eat the fruit of your words. One time, Jesus was walking to a place called Bethany. He was hungry, and he went over to a fig tree to get something to eat, and the tree was barren. It was bare. There was no fruit on it, and Jesus spoke to the tree, and he said, you will not produce fruit anymore. No one will eat from you ever again. And the Bible says the disciples heard what Jesus said, and no doubt they must have thought, man, that's strange. He's talking to trees now. Jesus talking to trees. And they went over, they examined the tree. Didn't look any different. They must have thought, he's lost his touch. It didn't work this time. Looks the same just before he said anything. Tree hasn't changed. But here's what they didn't realize. In the unseen realm, the moment that Jesus spoke to that tree, something happened. In the root system, the life was cut off. And it was just a matter of time before what happened on the inside showed up on the outside. Because the next day, when they passed by that same spot, the Bible says in Mark 11, verse 20, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed yesterday has withered away. And Jesus took this opportunity to teach us about the power of our words. He made one of the most amazing statements in verse 22. Jesus answered, he said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he Jesus said, that you will have whatever you say when you believe what you are saying with your heart. Did he say that? We must stop speaking about the mountain, and we must start speaking to the mountain. You know what I declare? In the name of Jesus, this coronavirus, I curse you. You stop. You dissipate. You disappear. In Jesus' name, we command you to weaken and dissipate and disappear in Jesus' name. I'm not going to go around and talk about how powerful the coronavirus is. I'm talking about how powerful our God is. When Jesus spoke to the tree, it didn't look like anything happened, but it did. The next day, they saw the result. It's the same principle with us, family. When you speak the word of God, the moment that God's promises are coming out of your mouth, in the unseen realm, something happens. You may not see it immediately. You may not see it till the next day or the next week or the next month or maybe even the next year, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Jesus said, when you say it and you believe it, it's going to happen. Too often what we do is we cancel out our promises by speaking these negative words. We may start out right, but over time, when we don't see things happening, we get discouraged and we let go of our confession of faith. We let go of our declaration. The Bible says, hold firmly to your declaration of faith, because you cannot speak defeat and expect victory. You cannot talk sickness and expect to have health. You cannot talk lack and poverty and expect to live an abundant life. Can you say amen? That's why God tells us, hold fast to your confession of faith. You've got to be determined that you're going to put a watch over your mouth. And no matter how long it's taking, and no matter how bad it looks, you're not going to give in. You're not going to start speaking doubt and unbelief. You're going to keep declaring favor over your finances. You're going to keep speaking victory over that sickness, freedom over that addiction. Some of you, you need to shift into a new gear because you're not speaking enough faith over your life. You've got big dreams, but you've got to declare God's favor in a big way over your life. It's not enough just to say it once a week. Oh, God, I hope you'll bless me this week. No, every day. Every day you should be saying, Father, I want to thank you that your favor surrounds me like a shield. Your favor is opening doors that nobody can shut. Your favor is bringing supernatural opportunities, divine connections, causing me to be at the right place at the right time. Let me tell you, family, here's the key. If you don't get your words going in the right direction and start speaking words of life and start speaking words of blessing, then you're not going to experience it. Because nothing happens until you say it. You've got to release your faith with your words. Instead of saying, oh, Pastor Steve, everybody seems to get blessed except me. I don't know why they get good breaks and I never ever do. No, start declaring, I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm favored. I'm healthy. I'm free. I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm strong in the Lord. You know, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. I heard someone say, the devil doesn't have to defeat us. We defeat ourselves. Do you know, often our biggest problem is like an inch from our nose. Right here. Often, that's our biggest problem. Listen, when you speak life and you speak faith and you get in agreement with what God says, you declare the decree of the Lord. Let me tell you, when you speak defeat, you're in agreement with the enemy. God talk brings God on the scene. Enemy talk brings the enemy on the scene. And you know, every day, there's two voices that compete for our attention, the voice of faith and the voice of defeat. You'll hear a voice telling you, you're never going to rise any higher. You don't have what it takes. You've reached your limits. If you listen carefully, you'll hear another voice saying, you are well able. You can do all things through Christ. If God is for you, then who can be against you? No weapon formed against you can ever prosper. You get to choose which voice comes to life. And the way you do it is by what you speak out. Because the moment you verbalize that thought, you give it the right to come to pass. You give life to it. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 31, listen to this. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Jesus said, notice, take no thought saying. In other words, the way that you accept and give life to a thought is by speaking it out of your mouth. Negative thoughts come to everybody. The key is don't say them, because a thought that is unspoken will die unborn. The moment you speak it out, you give life to it. Jesus was telling us, you may feel fearful and worried, but don't accept it by speaking it out. Don't get trapped by your words. You know, when the bank foreclosed on our building a few years ago, we had the building on Center Street, and the bank foreclosed on us, and I had these thoughts that would come to my mind on a daily basis. You're never going to get another building. You might as well give up. This is the end of the church. That's what came to my mind. You might as well give up. You're never going to get another building. This is the end of the church. Even though those thoughts were racing through my mind, I knew better than to speak them out of my mouth. I knew if I didn't verbalize those thoughts, they would die stillborn. It's one thing to think it's impossible, but when you start telling people it's impossible, it gives birth to that. You may think, I'll never break this illness, I'll never get well, I'll never meet the right person. Negative thoughts come to us all. You can't stop that. My challenge is, don't give them life by speaking them out. Don't go call your friends and tell them how it's never going to happen. When our building was foreclosed on, I would say, I don't see a way, but God, I know you have a way. You didn't bring us this far to leave us now. God, I thank you. You're taking what was meant for our harm and you're turning it to our advantage. We're going to get a better building in a better location. And the mortgage is going to be half what we're paying now. It looks impossible on paper, but with God, all things are possible. That's what I would say. We're going to get a better building. It's going to be in a better location, and we're going to have half the mortgage. My mind would tell me, how on earth is that going to happen? My mind would argue with me. How's that going to happen? I never spoke those thoughts out. I just kept saying, I kept speaking faith. I keep speaking victory. I knew better than to curse my future. I didn't want to get trapped by my own words. I knew if I kept speaking life, kept speaking faith, then we'd start moving towards it. What happened? Out of the blue. You know the story. I get the phone call from Joe Siegel. Saw me on TV. Said, I got a building. I want to sell. You don't need a bank. I own it. I just want you to pay the interest. No principal. And you don't need any money down. I mean, it was a miracle. We got a better building in a better location, and our mortgage is half what we were paying before. Let me tell you right now, God is faithful. Amen. That deserves a round of applause for Jesus, doesn't it? Let me tell you, in tough times, you have to especially be on guard. It's very tempting to vent your frustration and talk about the problem. Or how bad the medical report was. Or how these people aren't treating you right. Or how you just can't seem to meet the right person. Continually talking about the problem will not only make you more discouraged, but you're giving that problem more life. You're making it bigger. Turn it around. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the promise. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the promise. Instead of saying, oh man, I've got such a big problem. I've got such a big challenge. Rather say, I serve such a big God. He spoke the world into existence. There's nothing that is too difficult for him. Amen. Instead of saying, oh, I didn't get the promotion, I got passed over again, oh man, another disappointment. Rather say, I know when one door closes, God will open another door. God's got something better. He's directing my steps. I'm excited about my future. Are you with me? Instead of saying, oh, I'll never meet the right person, I'm too old, it's been too long. Rather say, something good's going to happen to me. Divine connections are coming my way. Let me tell you, my mother's getting married at 75. Getting married in a few weeks. Don't tell me I'm too old. Don't tell me it's too late. God got someone out there for you. Someone says, I heard you got a bad medical report. You say, yeah, that's true. But I got another report. And it says, God is restoring my health to me. Amen. Someone says, I heard those people really did you badly. They really did you wrong. Yes, but I'm not worried. God is my vindicator. He's fighting my battles. He's promised to give me beauty for ashes. Amen. There's always two voices vying for your attention, the voice of faith and the voice of defeat. You'll hear a voice like I did saying, this problem is too big. It's never going to work out. You might as well just accept it. You're never going to come out of this. You can be tempted to worry, to be negative, to start complaining. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear another voice, a voice of faith saying to you, down here in your heart, God has a way. Favor is coming. Healing is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. Now here's the beauty. You get to choose which voice comes to life. The way you do it is by what you say, by the words you speak. Because when you verbalize that thought, you're giving it the right to come to pass. If you go around saying, oh, my problems are so big, I'm never going to get out of it, I'm never going to get well, I'm never going to happen, then you're agreeing with the wrong voice. You got an agreement. Get in agreement with God. The other voice may seem louder. Let me tell you one thing about the enemy. He shouts loud. And but you can override it. You can take away all of its power by simply choosing the voice of faith. Maybe, let's say you're going for a job interview, and one voice will tell you, you're not going to get it, you're not qualified, you're just wasting your time. If you listen, you'll hear another voice saying, you have the favor of God, you are talented, you are creative, you have what it takes, you are what they're looking for, God is for you. If God is for you, then who can be against you? If you get up in the morning and you tell your spouse, I don't think I'm going to go on that interview, I don't think I'm qualified. I don't think they're going to like me. I don't think they're going to choose me. I don't think I stand a chance. With your own words, you're sealing your fate. The scripture says, whose report will you believe? The report of victory or the report of defeat? There's a battle that takes place in our minds. All through the day, we are tempted to talk about how bad it is and how we're never going to get out of debt and how I talk about what the medical report says. But you've got to be determined that you're not going to give life to that defeat. That you are not going to speak sickness. You're not going to speak lack. You're not going to speak fear. You're not going to speak defeat. You're not going to speak death. You choose to believe the report of the Lord. And God's report says you are blessed. It says you are favored. It says you are healthy. It says you are prosperous. It says you're a victor. You're not a victim. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I've got big obstacles. I've got big problems. I don't see how it could ever work out. Let me give you a key. Don't talk about your problems. Talk to your problems. You've got to speak to those mountains. Don't talk about the mountain. Too often that's what we do. We tell God all about how big our problems are, and we should be talking to our problems about how big our God is. When you face challenges, don't start talking defeat. Speak life. Speak faith in Jesus' name, because you can either defeat giants with your words or your words can allow giants to defeat you. I'm going to close out today by giving you the contrast between two biblical examples of one group that defeated one, how David defeated a giant, and how the children of Israel, the giant defeated them. When God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, he told them he was taking them to the promised land. And Moses sent out 12 spies to go spy out the promised land. And after 40 days, the 12 spies came back. And 10 of the spies said this, in Numbers chapter 13, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Shuhites, and the Nehites. They all dwell there. And it says, the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan River. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and let us take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who'd gone up with him, they said, we are not able to overcome. We are not able to go against the people. They are stronger than what we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. The King James Bible says an evil report. They gave a bad report of the land they spied out, saying the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it were men of great stature. It says, we saw the giants and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. They had a grasshopper mentality. They saw themselves as not able. Notice what the 10 spies said compared to what Joshua and Caleb. They said, we're well able to do it. The Lord is with us. Unfortunately, the people listened to the 10 spies instead of listening to the 2 spies. The negative report from those 10 spies spread like wildfire through the rest of the camp of Israel. Before long, all 2 million of the Israelites were in fear. Nobody even paid any attention to Joshua and Caleb, the report of faith. Here's what I've learned. A negative report spreads faster than a positive report. When people are complaining and talking defeat, be on guard. Don't agree with them. The Bible says the whole congregation were crying and complaining all night long. The Bible says they said we should have stayed in Egypt. Why has the Lord brought us to this land so we would die in battle? Our children would be victims. Let's select a new leader. Let's go back to Egypt. We should have stayed in Egypt. In Psalm 78, 22, it says they turned away from faith and they walked away in fear. They failed to trust his power. They failed to trust in his power to help them when he was near. I love that, man. They turned away from faith and they walked into fear. God was not happy. In fact, God said in Numbers 14, 28, listen to this. Listen to what God said. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. I'm going to do just what you said. Listen, you know that God's listening to everything comes out of your mouth. The Living Bible, listen to the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, tell them, the Lord vows to do what you feared. Numbers 14, verse 17, now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. Just what you declared, just what you said, that's what's going to happen. They said they would die in the wilderness, and they did. They wandered around for 40 years until that older generation died in the wilderness. And I believe God's saying the same thing to us, family. I'm going to do exactly what you've been saying. Speak life instead of speaking fear. Speak faith instead of speaking fear. The wrong words can keep you from your promised land. Have you ever heard of a man named Seth Hu? Have you ever heard of a man in the Bible named Gadi? Does anyone know a man in the Bible named Igal? How about Polti? Ever heard of Polti? You know why you never heard of him? Those are some of the 10 spies that never made it into the promised land. You don't even know who their names are. You know who we know? Joshua and Caleb. Because 40 years later, they went in and they did. They entered the promised land. They were 80 years old. They were at the front when they went in with Joshua. They took the promised land. You know why? Because they said we can do it and they got what they said. And everyone else said we can't do it. They got what they said. They died in the wilderness. I don't know about you. I'd rather be a Caleb and a Joshua than be a Polti and a Gadi. They were called to be history makers, but their words kept them from it. Don't let that be you. You may be facing some major challenges, but my challenge is be a Joshua, be a Caleb. They were the only two from their whole generation that ever made it into the promised land. The second example, I want to close with this today, is when David defeated Goliath. It looked impossible. I mean, are you kidding me? King Saul and all the army of Israel, they were gathered in battle against the Philistines. And they faced each other on two opposite hills. And every day, the Philistine champion, Goliath, who was 10 feet tall, would stand and shout and taunt the Israelites three times a day. He would challenge them, send a man to fight me. And if I kill him, then you must serve us and be our slaves. And if he kills me, we'll serve you and we'll be your slaves. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel verse 7, chapter 17, verse 11, when Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, we look back in it now, and great story. You could really try and imagine. All of Israel's afraid of this guy. He's 10 feet tall. Saul's hiding in his tent. They're all afraid. When David hears it, what did he say? I'll fight him. I'll fight him. His brothers try to talk him out of it. King Saul said to him, David, you can't do this. You're not able. You're just a teenager. He's a man of war from his youth. Everybody tried to talk him out of it. David replied to the king. He said, King, when I was looking after my father's sheep, if a lion or a bear came and attacked the sheep, I would kill it. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be like just one of them. Because he defied the armies of the living God. Then David said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, as he faced Goliath. Now Goliath is shouting at him, what am I, a dog that you send a boy with a stick? What am I? He's shouting. The devil can try and be intimidating. But David spoke right back. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David took his sling. He chose 5 stones from the brook. He started across the valley to fight Goliath. Goliath shouting insults at David. David shouts back at Goliath. He says, you come to me with a sword, you come to me with a spear, you come to me with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day. Notice what he said. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I mean, think about it. This 17-year-old boy, he says, then all the assembly will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I mean, talk about speaking faith. In the midst of facing a giant, he might have felt fear, but he spoke words of faith. His words were the catalyst to his victory, because David got just what he said. He did defeat Goliath, and he did cut his head off, and the whole of the Philistine army were defeated that day. Let me tell you, when you face giants and when you face challenges in life, you got to be like David. You got to say to that sickness, sickness, you're no match for me. I will defeat you in the name of Jesus. You got to tell that addiction. This addiction might have been in my family for many years, but this is a new day, and the buck stops with me. I am the difference maker. This I am free in the name of Jesus. Whatever giant, whatever mountain you face in life, no matter how big they may look, do not shrink back in fear. Do not be intimidated. Rise up in faith and tell that giant, tell that mountain, you're coming down in the name of Jesus. The battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you. He will defeat you. You're going to tell that sickness, you're just temporary. You're going to speak life. You're going to speak faith. Don't you know who I am? I'm a child of the Most High God. Haven't you read my birth certificate? My Father created the universe. He breathed life into me. He crowned me with his favor. He called me more than a conqueror. That means you can't defeat me. You can't hold me back. Mountain, you got to come down. I will overcome this sickness in the name of Jesus. I will break this addiction. I will pay my house off. I will see my family restored. I will accomplish my dreams. What am I saying? Speak faith. Speak victory. Speak life. Don't talk about your problem. Talk to your problem. Every morning, declare God's favor. Learn to call the things that are not as though they already are. Get in agreement with God. Say what he says about you. His word coming out your mouth is one of the most powerful things that you can ever do in your life. Listen, it's not enough just to think it. It's not enough just to believe it. You give life to your faith when you speak it out of your mouth. In James 2 verse 26, it says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without actions is dead. Do you know your spirit gives life to your body? Your words give life to your faith. If you speak life, if you speak faith, you will defeat giants in life. You will see negative situations, impossible situations turn around. Your mountains will be turned into molehills, and God will fight your battles for you. You will overcome obstacles that seemed impossible. You'll defeat enemies that were much greater. And every dream and every promise God's given you, I declare it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. If you will choose to speak life and to speak faith in Jesus' name, you will see amazing things take place. Do you receive this today? If you receive it today, won't you give God some thanks? And come on, give him some praise. Clap those hands as hard as you can. We give praise to God today. Say this. Say, I will speak life. Say, I speak life over my life. I speak blessing over my life. Say, I declare this plague will not come near me. The Lord is protecting me. No weapon formed against me can ever prosper. Say, I speak to this coronavirus. I command you to dissipate. I command you to disappear. I curse you in the name of Jesus. Come on, say it with me. Say, Lord, I want to thank you that you supply all my needs. I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm fearless in the name of Jesus. I am surrounded by the angels of God. I am protected. I am delivered. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Did you receive something out of this today? Listen, I'm going to come back in a moment to close the service. I'm going to ask you to stay with us. And I want to thank everyone who's given online this week. We're so appreciated and so blessed by all of our faithful people in this church who've been giving online. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your obedience. Amen. Thank you, Jill.
Praise God. My faith is built and strengthened this morning. How about you? Well, those who are watching online, stay with us because I just want to encourage you when it comes to the area of finance. You know, Pastor Steve's talked about so many different areas that the Word of God touches on that Jesus has redeemed us from. But, you know, as we've been facing the coronavirus, so we've been facing the economic fallout from all of this, you know, all of us being quarantined and people being off work. And I want to encourage you from the Word of God and build your faith in this area. Just two scriptures that I'm going to read with you. And I just want to let you know that it's very easy to give. You can just click the donate button. Very easy to do that. Those of you that are here, you can give by text giving. It comes up on the screen. There's a number. You just, the first time, you'll just text that number. You text the amount you want to give. And the first time, it'll get you to set up an account. And after that, it's just a simple one click and it's done. There's a kiosk in the lobby. But go ahead and participate. You can also give with an envelope. You can do that right now. Prepare yourself. And I just want to, there was a scripture that stood out to me, Psalm 116. The psalmist was saying, even when, and he described all these situations, he said, even when, then he said, I will stay faithful to God and I will speak words of faith. So I want to say to you that even when things don't look right, good, even when the economy is uncertain, even when your job may be in jeopardy, even then, I still stay faithful to God and I still speak words of faith. Amen. It's not dependent on the circumstance. It's what comes out of my mouth, what I believe. And so how do I have faith in trying times? First of all, like Pastor Steve said, I've got to know what the Word of God says on the subject, right? When the Bible says when we faithful to tithe, that God opens the windows of heaven. Now we know there's a blessing that God has pronounced over us when we are faithful to tithe. The Bible says, I'm the Lord all-powerful. I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse and there will be food in my house. And here's the promise. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. So there's one thing we find out from the Word of God that we can believe and we can begin to speak over. Philippians 4 says, the Apostle Paul was talking to givers and he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So there's a promise that we can believe and we can speak out of our mouth. So if I'm going to stay in faith and trust God to provide for me, I've got to speak in accordance with that. Amen. And so as we get ready today, I want to lead you in our confession. It's going to come up on the screen. And I want us to say this. This is based upon the Word of God, about from promises from the Word of God. And we're going to say, we're going to put into practice some of what we've heard today. We're not just going to believe what God says, but we're going to speak it and act on it. Amen. So hold your offering right where you are. Let's believe God. Say this with me. Say, because I support God's kingdom. Come on, let's say it. God has pleasure in my prosperity. Therefore, I am believing God for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, blessings and increase, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, finding money, interest and income, creative ideas, houses and lands. Say, thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We believe that. So ushers, you can go ahead. Thank you. And those of you, just go ahead and give online, and we appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, we want to thank everyone who's here today. We want to thank all of our wonderful servant leaders who served. We want to thank our musicians for being here today, our media team, our kids' church. Thank you, everyone that was here today. We really, won't you give them a round of applause today and give yourself a round of applause for being here. And I know we had a lot of our members not here today. We want you to know we love you. We miss you. We can't wait to see you again. We're praying for you. Please don't forget that Easter's coming up just 2 weeks away. I'm praying that all the churches will be back by Easter. Can we believe and pray that they'll all be back by Easter? And please, when you go out today, take some of these little Easter invites, because we're having on Easter weekend, we're having Good Friday service on Friday, April 10th at 7 p.m. And then we're having Easter Sunday, which is on April 12th at 10 a.m. And please take some of these cards to invite people to come to Easter. What a great way to get the church all back, but on Easter Sunday. What do you say? So take some of these invites, invite somebody. We love you, and I want you to know God's got this. It's going to be okay in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are not fearful. You know, some people have wondered why we're open, why we're having church today. You know, I believe we're an essential service. We were at Walmart this week. The parking lot was packed out. It was packed out at Walmart because it's an essential service, getting food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If getting food at Walmart is an essential service, and if keeping the liquor stores open